is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. ADAPT is launching a new initiative, Stewards of Children, to help prevent child sexual abuse. And Katie Atkins from ADAPT hasn't been in here in a long time. Had to look around and actually find the building again and figure out exactly where we're located. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, talk about kind of what your role is with ADAPT.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I'm the Prevention Program Director at ADAPT. We have our own little side division where we're really working to educate and empower youth and adults just to increase the likelihood of healthier behaviors in our community.
And how long have you been doing that?
I've been in the prevention department for 6 years.
And what was it about that field that led you to be interested?
Oh, I love that question. Actually, we talk a lot in our field about the river analogy and going upstream. And I think that was the first thing that really clicked with me as an emerging professional was just that I was kind of a systems person. I like to take a step back and think about ways that our community could be improved and how people could come together to not only figure out what our issues were, but what they could do collectively to help to improve them. So prevention was a very natural fit.
And talk about, kind of give us an overview of Stewards of Children and of the initiative.
Yeah, so I was actually trained in Stewards of Children as an intern. I believe my first training was in 2012, but I became a facilitator in 2015 as the Ford Family Foundation began this Protect Our Children project. And it's something that I'm very passionate about. And really, truly, even though I work in substance abuse prevention, we realized quickly on that preventing child sexual abuse was really one of the most crucial things. If we could just choose one thing to prevent or decrease, that would really help rates of everything else to decline in our community. So I've been involved with the training since that time as a facilitator, but not necessarily in this role as a site coordinator for the county.
So while you're launching this here, this is something that's been going on in other ways for quite a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, so the Ford Family Foundation launched this initiative in 2015, and they're partnering with the Center for Abuse and Neglect up at the University of Oregon to evaluate it. And Stewards of Children is actually an evidence-based program, and so it's been a very beautiful collaborative through all those years in our community to help to not only bring that training here, but to increase the number of adults who are trained in this program.
It seems like from other conversations I've had and talking to people that work around the issue of child sexual abuse, that the ramifications of that abuse to the victim are so multifaceted and impact so many different areas of their life. And even with help and treatment, it's something that is always there with you that you remember.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's extremely detrimental, highly stigmatized, and people who have been impacted by sexual abuse often carry it throughout their lifetime. So like I said, prevention, if we could just choose an area to really focus our community collective efforts in, this is definitely a very important prevention topic.
And I understand, too, that sometimes people who go through that, although they have experienced all the pain and the issues that go through that, sometimes replicate that going forward into their adult life to others.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that is brought up a lot, and I'm definitely not an expert in that area. I don't think I could really speak to those statistics, but I know that from what I understand through the research that I've done, that's not always the case, and often when people are supported, they're able to heal, and it doesn't perpetuate further the abuse.
I know it would be hard to tell for sure, but it sounds like this area is something that's probably very underreported.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's kind of the beauty of this evaluation process is that most of the data that we have about the prevalence of child sexual abuse is not only underreported, but it's lagging. Most people quote statistics from that were gathered like in the 70s. And so the Stewards of Children program, they suggest that about 1 in 10 children have been abused. And the Center for Abuse and Neglect has been looking into that data just to see, like, in our community and locally, is that data true here? And what they're finding is about 32% of adults that are surveyed that participate in these Stewards of Children trainings are reporting that during childhood they were abused. So that's a lot more than the 1 in 10 statistics that we're seeing nationally.
Any idea what the reason for the big difference from 10% to almost a third?
I think that, well, again, this is my opinion and just what I've read, but it seems like due to the level of stigma that's surrounding this topic, that people really still don't feel very safe reporting. But a lot of work has happened over the last few years to support victims and to help them to be able to talk about these experiences. So I think that that's why we're seeing an increase, is just that people are more comfortable talking about it.
I wonder sometimes if the victims feel like if they report it, it's just going to make a bad situation worse.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm in a class where we're kind of diving deep into that very thing right now at the U of O, and it's an interesting phenomenon. But, you know, in some ways it's protective for people to shut off those mechanisms and not think about some of the terrible things that humans are capable of. But that's really the beauty of this program, is it doesn't hone so much into all of the stigma and all of the pain associated with the topic, but rather it's really empowering and provides a lot of hope to adults to know really how to recognize what's happening, how to protect children in their lives, and to be able to take an active stance in doing so.
What about around the state with other organizations, maybe? How widely is this material getting out there?
That's a great question. That's what's exciting. I think it's easy to feel like you work alone when you work in a prevention field, but this collective, this Protect Our Children project, is being unrolled throughout all of Oregon and then in Siskiyou County, which is the region that the Ford Family Foundation reaches. And so far, as of January of 2020, 24,000 people have been trained in this program as a part of this initiative. So it's very exciting to know that each community has these site coordinators and leads who have similar goals that we do.
So with that kind of number, then we're not talking just professionals that are working in some field related to this.
No, I mean, ideally, it would reach out to most of the general public. So our goal is to see 5% of adults in Douglas County trained in Stewards of Children. And so that's a fairly lofty goal in 3 years to accomplish. We're looking at just over 4,000 adults. But we really think that tipping point needs to happen.
So what would it take for someone to go through that? I mean, is this a weeks long, months long? What is this process going to be like?
Well, the training is a 2-hour training. It's a very condensed and short training. There's a little evaluation component we do with it. And I personally prefer a little more of discussion embedded. So it can be up to 3 hours tops, but it's just a little part of a day. And, you know, with COVID, the training environment has shifted a lot. And we're in the process now of becoming authorized facilitators through the online mechanism. And that'll make it even more accessible for people and a little more convenient. They can either do it on their own at their own pace or participate in like a virtual Zoom style training with one of us as a facilitator.
So that way people could do it from home, mm-hmm. maybe some quiet area at work, or really literally just about anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we're still, of course, with the social distancing guidelines in place, able to go do small group trainings in places as well if people would prefer a small face-to-face setting.
So will these be offered at different times of the day?
Yeah, so we have actually, I guess that's the other piece I haven't really touched on, is that there's a large team of trainers here in Douglas County. So there are many facilitators that will be working together to help to be able to offer different times, different locations, and working together to help meet the training needs.
All right, we're going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. About Stewards of Children, an initiative, and ADAPT and their role in what's going on. Katie Atkins from ADAPT with us. The interview, a podcast after 1, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. right, Douglas Caddy, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Next couple of days, we delve into some candidate interviews on Inside Douglas County. Between Tuesday and Wednesday's broadcast, we'll be talking to Alex Scarlato's Republican candidate for Congress and Congressman Peter DeFazio, the incumbent in that position. That'll be over the next couple of days. We're working on putting together other candidate interviews, both on Inside Douglas County and in our morning conversation as well. Katie Atkins from ADAPT, the Prevention Coordinator, talking about the Stewards of Children initiative to help prevent child sexual abuse. For people that take it around the state, have you been able to kind of see what their response has been?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been overwhelmingly positive. We just got a new evaluation report, and it says that 99% of people that have taken the training, and again, that's been over 24,000 people, mostly throughout the state of Oregon, said that they would recommend the training to others. And right now, they're also in the process of evaluating whether those changes are long-term changes or, you know, you just go to something and then a week later forget it. But what they're finding is that that's not the case, that people are having a long-term change in knowledge and skill sets, and so they're really actively helping to protect children and more able to recognize the warning signs of child sexual abuse.
How diverse, like occupationally, are the types of people that are taking this?
Oh, goodness. It is such a huge span. You know, there's a gender breakdown that's where it's mostly females right now that are choosing to participate. As far as professions go, it is literally all types of people that are coming. We also see not just professionals, but like caregivers, multi-generational, you know, grandparents and neighbors and just people who are wanting to step up to learn how they can better protect children.
Now, you've got somebody else from ADAPT helping you with this, right?
I do, and I'm the one here talking today, but actually Angel Reeves from Compass Behavioral Health will be the project lead for this project. So it's actually a beautiful partnership between the Compass Behavioral Health with the youth and family team and prevention over at ADAPT.
And Compass in this configuration is working kind of with ESD a lot, right?
Yeah, Compass does work with a lot of schools, and so that's one of our first goals. So we're going to start internally by training staff and making sure that people that are serving on the youth and family team or interacting with youth are trained in this program. And then we're going to be reaching out to schools, and because Compass has a lot of contracts and partnerships with schools, we plan to reach out to teachers, administration, staff, and provide support there. And after that, we'll be reaching out to the general public and the community to see what other people are interested in these trainings.
And it's interesting for teachers, some of whom, depending on grade level or the size of the district, are going to be teaching virtually at least part of the year and maybe longer. You're interacting with kids in that framework. I would think it would be a little harder to sort of see signs of behavior sometimes.
Absolutely. And again, it's really not my area of expertise, but what I've heard in meetings with community partners is that abuse reports are on the decline, which is not necessarily a good thing. It means that there's perhaps less eyes on our community and on our children. And so we do need to work together to try to help provide an increased level of protection.
And I know the folks at Peace at Home have talked about that, because sometimes if you're in, whether it's an education session or some other interaction, even just socially, the person responsible for the abuse may be in earshot in a very small home.
Absolutely.
So that's a complicating factor to this. Now, nationally, where did all of this begin? Is this something that started with Ford Family, or does it go further back?
Actually, no. Stewards of Children is an evidence-based program, and it's through the Darkness to Light Foundation. And I'm not sure actually what year they started. As I said, I first took the training around 2012 as an intern, and I know that it's been around a lot longer than that. But it's a well-established, very dynamic program.
So for people that are hearing this, that are, you know, very, very diverse in terms of what they do, if this sort of kind of, you know, makes them think, I would like to take this training, how soon is this going to be available?
Oh, that's a great question as well. We're actually hiring a site coordinator here in the next few weeks. We're starting interviews this week. And so once we have someone to head up the project, we should have trainings rolling out as soon as possible. Now, there are already plenty of trained facilitators in our community. And so part of our work is going to be bringing our facilitators together, trying to help support, you know, through COVID, getting them onboarded with how to do online trainings and getting in-person trainings coordinated again. So there's a little work to do there, but I would say that trainings are available immediately if anyone is interested.
Well, it's obviously a real important topic, and there's so many different agencies that deal with different aspects of this, whether it's Douglas Cares or people with that have got connections and helping out the Department of Human Services. I mean, it goes a lot of different ways.
Absolutely. You know, and this work is very collective. Even though the grant that we received is housed with us, our job is to bring together people who are interested in being trained as facilitators and then support them in implementing these trainings so that we can reach together collectively that 5% goal that we have over the course of 3 years.
Now, that's a pretty ambitious goal.
Yeah, but we can do it. See, Angel and I are very competitive, and we're excited to start reaching those goals. But we did start with a smaller goal of having 500 people trained before the end of June of this 2021. So we're going to start a little bit small, look at some of our systems and our youth serving organizations, and really making sure that those are in place before we branch out.
Well, and I would imagine, too, people that work with groups like CASA and things like that, this would be something that really could be helpful for them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and they really are the subject matter expertise. We just do the trainings, but they are the ones that are diving in deep.
The area of child sexual abuse, when you think about the long term and you people go up the road, I mean, some people, I don't even know how to frame it exactly right. Some people are really never freed of that. It's still like this lingering part of your brain, even when you're 50, 60 years old.
Yeah, I think that I've, this is my opinion, but I've met many people that have healed and are very functional, thriving adults. But it's hard once those things have happened. It's, again, much better to get on the side of being able to prevent or intervene early just to have as much opportunity as possible for a healthy life.
And do the victims often still feel like they must be, although maybe they say they aren't, but they still feel deeply like, in some way, they're at least partially responsible? Like they did something wrong that led to that?
You know, I can't really speak as much to the intervention or treatment side of the coin, but that's definitely a narrative that we hear in the field for people who have experienced abuse.
Katie Atkins with us from ADAPT. Got about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What else should people know about this and your plans moving forward?
Oh, goodness. I just, you know, I think it attaches beautifully to our mission at ADAPT of just promoting health and restoring lives. And so I'm very excited to see this collaboration internally as well as externally to support our community.
And if people, even though you're just kind of getting it started now, want to get their name on a list or whatever, what's the best way to contact and get tied in?
Yeah, that's a great question. They can actually get on the Stewards of Children website. And so I think that would be the quickest and easiest way to see what trainings are happening because they're all published online. And so they can join a virtual one if they don't find one in our community that fits. So I don't have that handy, which I should. But if they look up or Google Stewards of Children Through Darkness to Light, it'll come up pretty easily.
And then ADAPT will be putting out more information as you get these trainings started and the mix of doing virtual for a lot of things and in-person in some places where you can do that too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there'll be much more information to come.
All right, Katie Atkins from ADAPT, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
It's 1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.